Jaya Radha Madhava
One of those. The blue thing.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Shtotra Shadashri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhdeva. Text 16, there's no writing on the board, obviously, so I'll just read the verse Sanskrit quickly. Yadyapi svaviritam sakaladharmam brahmam guhyam brahmanair darshritamargena samadibhir upayair janatam anushashasa. Word for word, synonyms, yadyapi, although, svaviditam, known by him, sakala dharmam, which includes all different types of occupational duties, brahmam, Vedic instruction, guhyam, very confidential, brahmanaihi, by the Brahmanas. Darshita Margena, by the path showed. Sama Adibihi, Sama Dhamma Titiksha. Sama Dhamma Titiksha. Controlling the mind, controlling the senses, practicing tolerance. You don't have to. And so on. Upayahi, by the means. Janatam, the people in general. Anushashasa, he ruled over. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although Lord Rishabhdeva knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a kshatriya and followed the instructions of the brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashram Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Shudras. Purport. Although Rishabdev knew all the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. The Brahmanas would give advice according to the Shastras, and all the other castes would follow. The word Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities, and this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as Brahmanas should know all Vedic literature, and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. The general populace should follow the perfect Brahmana. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses, and thus gradually advance to spiritual perfection. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyas Cha Kirbasindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, well, this is a little spur of the moment, so thank you for allowing me to give class today. Please have the desire to hear something wonderful in your hearts, because that's the only way it's probably going to come out from my mouth. So, more we're hearing about Lord Rishabdev's. Of course, we heard originally that he, first of all, incarnated to show how to be a proper king, householder, etc. No, but now we're continuing to hear that he knew everything. The definition of God is that he knows everything. So we're hearing that Rishabdev knows everything. We're being reminded that he's not an ordinary conditioned soul. At the same time, he's carrying out his duty as if he's a Kshatriya. Just as Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if I didn't perform the duties, then everybody would follow my example and the whole society would be ruined. So therefore I act according to the Varna and Ashrama system. Not because I'm required to, but because I want to benefit everyone. That's my desire. So Lord Rishabha is following the instructions of the Brahmanas. I mean, can you imagine being the Brahmana who is instructing God how to follow? That's an interesting concept. When Lord Chaitanya was approaching the place where the Nawab Hussein Shah was governing, and he was bringing so many followers with him, the Shah heard that he was coming, and he momentarily or externally accepted that this is a great saintly person. I'm very happy to have him in my kingdom. You know, this is nice. But Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, they were aware of the actual heart disposition of this ruler, a ruthless sort of personality, who, needless to say, was not a proper king. So they informed Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami specifically, I think, that please be cautious. we would advise that you don't come to this place, because although right now Nawab Hussain Shah is welcoming you, at any moment his disposition can change because he's not actually a devotee. So a king is meant to be able to understand who a saintly person is and to receive instructions from him. In the case that he's not, then as Lord Chaitanya was advised, and interestingly enough, Lord Chaitanya said, thank you very much, he accepted the counsel of his devotee and turned back. So the Goswamis didn't get to meet Lord Chaitanya at that time. But Lord Chaitanya accepted the advice of someone, you can say, lower than him because he's God, right? So Rishabhdev here is also the Supreme Lord, and he's accepting counsel from the Brahmanas. The Lord does this for the purpose of displaying his pastimes. And the difference here is Lord Rishabhdev is a qualified king, and Nawab Hussain Shah was not. So the Brahmanas here are able to instruct him and show the example of how society is supposed to be ordered. Lord Rishabha is able to understand already how he should carry out his duties, but for our benefit, for the benefit of the generations coming after him, for the benefit of reestablishing the proper order in the world, he took this position to show that a king should always be ready to be instructed by brahmanas, no matter who he may be. So that example has been lost, obviously, over time. But the principle is simple, that a brahmana means, or brahma here means, Srila Prabhupada says, perfect knowledge of all activities. So a brahmana is supposed to be one who understands not just theoretical knowledge, jnana, but also vijnana, practical application of knowledge in life. How to teach others to live in such a way that their particular occupational activities will bring them to, you can say in different ways, I'm sure. One way to say it is control of the mind and senses for the purpose of advancement in spiritual life. So we have in the preface to his Nectar of Instruction, translation and commentary, Srila Prabhupada has written that we have to follow the instructions of the Goswamis in order to be able to come to a stage where we can actually have a relationship with Krishna. I'm paraphrasing it, or I'm expressing it a little differently than what Srila Prabhupada is writing. He says, you have to come to Sattva-guna. And you can only do that if you follow these instructions given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. And at that stage, when one is actually capable of hearing from Krishna, because he's no longer dragged by the urges of the senses and the mind into materialistic activities, but rather he can decide how he wants to use his mind and senses, then he can hear from Krishna and act accordingly. So the brahmanas are obviously necessary for that purpose, because they understand the Vedic literatures and how other persons can apply them. And without the Vedic literatures, one may think that he knows how to be a king or a Vaishya or a Shudra. And we can say these are kind of simple occupations to some extent. I mean, it may not be simple to be an administrator. I would venture to say most of us would agree with that statement. But still, it may be something that we think can be learned from the predecessors, etc. You know, a farmer, Vaishya, you know, I can learn from my family how to farm. Why do I need to have a special instruction about how to do that? A Shudra, a laborer, I can learn, you know, how to work. What kind of special instruction is required for that? And in a way, the system doesn't work that a Shudra is instructed by a Brahmana, because it's not directly like that. But Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that the Kshatriyas administer the state under the guidance of the Brahmanas. So the Kshatriyas are the ones who regulate the activities of the Vaishyas, and the Vaishyas are the ones who regulate the activities of the Shudras. It's not that there's no direct connection between any of the other castes with the Brahminical order. We understand from, like, Krishna book, for instance, or 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that there is such a thing as a guru for a Vaishya community, Nanda Maharaj and Gargamuni, you know. But still, for the system to function properly, because there is this hierarchy, the lower classes have to be controlled by an upper class that is controlled by the ultimate class of society, the Brahmanas, so that the Vedic instructions and how to apply them in life for purification and advancement penetrate through the society all the way to the bottom, and everyone gets the benefit of upliftment. That's the Vedic model. That's the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada says that Vedic culture means to make everyone a Brahmana, not to leave him Shudra. So it doesn't mean, of course, that there won't be any Shudras, because then what does Vedic culture mean then? But it means that the idea is not we just want to have a class of laborer people who do all of our work for us so that our lives can be very smooth and simple and without too much labor and we can go on enjoying. It's not like that. That's the modern so-called caste system that people have cast out. Caste system, cast out. I think this is one of the sections of the Science of Self-Realization. Srila Prabhupada is explaining what the real caste system is versus what people call it these days. And people are right to reject the idea of what they think is, you know, Varna sort of categorization of human beings in this day and age, because it's not based on uplifting them to a higher level of consciousness. It's based on exploiting them to receive service from them and leave them in their situation where they are. It's slavery, basically. Slavery isn't meant to bring the slaves to the level of the masters, right? Slavery is meant to keep them at the level where they are. That's the whole idea. So that's the modern-day context. Now, a caste system is something that's referred to in India, technically, but caste system is going on everywhere. It's just in India, you have names for it. Shudra, Vaishya, whatever, that are based on the Vedic language. But in the United States, or anywhere else you go in the world, it's the same thing, just different permutations. Here in the U.S., we have laborer class, and we have Vaishya class. We don't really have Kshatriya class so much. Maybe some exceptions of personalities, but in general, the system runs on... Huh? Not really. Alex, oh, you know somebody. There's some exceptions, are there? Some exceptions are there. Of course, there are some Brahminical sort of persons. But the system is not set up such that the Brahmanas are controlling, neither that the Kshatriyas are taking guidance from the Brahmanas, neither persons who are pretending to be Kshatriyas are taking guidance from Brahmanas. Basically, it's all run on money. That's what the free enterprise system. I don't know if you see those buses like that go by sometimes downtown Chicago, free enterprise system. So that... free enterprise system means whoever can, you know, gain the most influence by their wheeling and dealing becomes the controller. That's what free enterprise system means. They control the government. They control the laborers. So money is the guiding light, not the brahmanas. So here we have shudras also, working for people who are acting as business persons, or you can say vaishyas, in some kind of dim way. And they're subjected. How subjected? You may look at a company and say, yeah, we want forward movement of persons. We want to give them a better, you know, education and salary. We want them to take more responsibility in their job. You know, they can become the next leader in our company. And everybody, oh, yeah, this is a forward-looking institution that I'm working for or whatever, and people get excited. There's two things. One is that that's only happening, actually, because if they didn't do that, then people would be really, to use a ghetto word, uppity, you know? Like, hey, how come you guys get to be the leaders all the time? What about somebody from my group getting to be the leader? Oh, okay. I guess we better do some promotions then. This kind of stuff happens all the time. Working in the corporate world, they give promotions simply for the purpose of keeping people happy so that they don't disrupt the business. In other words, the whole motivation behind it is profit. The motivation isn't so much to help the people. If they could somehow keep them subjugated in their current position and the business go on smoothly, they would be happy to stay in their own position most of the time. So this is from the material perspective, or completely materialistic perspective, of not even having the desire so much to help persons to get a higher level of material position. We're not even touching, you know, spiritual benefit going to the people yet. What to speak of actually teaching them something about how they can conduct themselves in a way that will bring them elevation to a higher level of consciousness. So Rishabhdev is showing wonderfully by his example that although I'm the most powerful personality, I'm not going to exploit the system. I'm interested in setting it up in such a way, even to the extent that I'll follow, you know, the orders of persons who are lesser than me, because that will be beneficial for everyone. So this is the disposition of the Supreme Lord and his disciples, his devotees also, thinking of Srila Prabhupada. A lot of times I've heard one of his disciples express how charming, you can say it was, and that's one word you could use to describe, or how amazing it was that Srila Prabhupada, when he established the GBC, the Governing Body Commission for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, would sit in the GBC meetings, and when they'd had votes, he would raise his hand, along with all the other members of the GBC, you know, and it's like, Srila Prabhupada, we're all like 23 years old, and we don't know very much, you know, about anything. Why are you raising your hand, you know? One can think like that. But Srila Prabhupada was setting an example. He was saying, it doesn't matter who you are in this institution. This is the system. You know, the GBC is meant to be the one that carries it forward. I'm no exception because I'm the one who's instituting it. And the reason that he was doing that was because what happened prior to that, if you read the Lilamrita, is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also wanted there to be a GBC for the Gaudiya Math institution. And unfortunately, that was not established. What happened instead is after he left, so many persons started trying to become the next Acharya, and they divided into factions, and they were in legal battles over who owned the temples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Totally forgot about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's just like, now who owns his stuff? Who is the, you know, rightful leader of the tradition now that he's gone, etc. So Srila Prabhupada instituted what his spiritual master wanted to be instituted for his institution, and taking the exemplary position of acting as one of the voting members, he showed them it doesn't. Maybe you will be some very important seeming person in the future, but this is the system for the benefit of everyone. Otherwise, you know, history would repeat itself. So, because it's not that they want to have a position, it's not that they're thinking that they have a position. I mean, the Supreme Lord knows what his position is, but you know, they're not interested in displaying their prowess for the purpose of receiving honor from others for their own, you know, satisfaction in a worldly sort of way. Rather, they're interested, and that doesn't mean, now some people will say, oh, well, how come, but look, he's receiving so much worship, and you know, yada, yada. We're not taking from that angle. That's also for the benefit of others. When the Supreme Lord takes a position of honor, or the devotee takes a position of honor, that's also for the benefit of others, so that they can be purified by understanding that I should honor properly, like Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, because he understood these people are not going to respect me unless I take sannyas order. Here Rishabhdev is taking the Kshatriya householder position because he's understanding people are not going to follow the system properly unless I show them how to do it. Even the Supreme Lord follows the system. So this is extremely important because the subtleties of how people learn things are profound. You know, whatever a great man does, others will follow. And you may think, not really. You know, Srila Prabhupada uses the example of President Nixon, you know, who cheated the voting system. And people found out about that, and he got kicked out of office, obviously. So you might say, well, he got kicked out. We understood that that's not such an important thing, you know. Or Bill Clinton, you know, everybody found out what he did. And so, oh, you know, we don't respect him anymore. But it's not just like the legal system works and then nobody's affected anymore. The subtleties of how these things work is people can see. Whatever system that we're working with is choosing these people, and this system doesn't seem to be choosing very good people. So, you know, my confidence in this system is, you know, not very high. And they may not realize that on a more conscious level, but subconsciously, the confidence in the system is being subverted, or it's being destroyed at the foundation. And without order in society, how can people make progress? Now, our modern society, people are not going to make spiritual progress anyway, but I'm just using that as an example to explain the principle. That if the leader doesn't follow the system properly, the effect is not only that grossly the machinery is not going to work properly, which may also be the case, but subtly the people learn, I don't have to be submissive to higher authorities. And that's even more deadly, because you can put back together a machine that you know, becomes broken, but you can't so easily rectify the consciousness of the human society. It's a much greater contamination and thing to clean up. So Rishabhdev is showing how to follow the brahmanas. Now then, there's the discussion of who is a proper brahmana, of course, and what he's supposed to do. Brahmanas should know all Vedic literature, and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. So this was discussed some days ago also. Patan patan, yajan yajan, dana pratigraha, the six activities of a brahmana, that he's not supposed to just learn for himself, but he's supposed to share that with others. That's his disposition. It's supposed to be, that's his nature. He wants to give it to others. That's a brahminical person. Not that he just wants to keep it for himself. Otherwise, he's more of a miserly person than a brahmana. and he's supposed to know all Vedic literature. This is also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam about a person who is qualified to sit and represent Vyasadeva on the Vyasasan. So one is supposed to know the different philosophies and things that we don't directly study so much. So, but these philosophies and the Vedic literatures, when it says all Vedic literatures, obviously it doesn't mean that we're going to, if we have some brahminical service to do, go and study all the mantras of the Rig Veda or something like that, obviously. But Vedaischa Sarvara Hameva Vedyam. Krishna says, by the Vedas, I am the one who is to be known. So by accepting the truth that Krishna and what he speaks is the conclusive truth of everything, one has the benefit of this same understanding of all Vedic literature. What is Vedanta? Vedanta is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever he says is to be accepted, sarva dharma and parityaja, give up all other ideas of what proper understanding is and just follow Krishna. And Krishna has his representatives, and there's a whole system, etc. So one who is following that system, although, you know, from the angle of knowledge and even qualities, not qualified, but following the system so that the conclusion is correct. So that's the example that we can set, and that's how we can teach. That's how we can know all the Vedic literature in whatever, you know, essential form we can do that for society, for others. We understand that I have to follow this system, and we show by our example and precept that this system has to be followed. And that is that's the exemplary teaching that we can show. Although we may not be learned as Rishabdev was, or even as our own acharyas are, but the system is set up such that the same benefit comes to everyone who follows it properly. And so for our own benefit and for others' benefit, we just follow that system, then the proper instruction is being given by our example, and the proper benefit will go through the society, our society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, society in general. Persons who come in contact with us and then come in contact with ISKCON, they can see that what you are doing and what Srila Prabhupada is teaching in his books, they match. Not that you are perfect, that's not required, but that you are following the system that brings one to perfection. Then the words and the actions match. Then people have confidence in the system that it works, that others are following it confidently, and others will take up the process properly, faithfully, and seriously. Okay. So those are some thoughts. Any comments or questions? Thank you. Yes, Himanshi Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your class. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on, I was thinking about Arjuna in the first canto, and when he had to carry out a certain, and he was getting advice from all different personalities present, and he had a relationship with each of them. Mm-hmm. So in our own context, where we have relationships with many individuals, and we have authorities and sub-authorities, so sometimes there's a conflict between relationship and the system. So how do we resolve that?
I'm sure that you have to ask somebody in the context to get like a proper answer. But in principle, we have to get clarification, because there can't be a conflict really in the reality. There can't be a conflict. There can be a conflict externally, and there can be a conflict if we're misunderstanding something, and there can be a conflict if there's some misunderstanding somewhere else in the system. But for the system that we want to follow, which is the system that functions properly, there can't be a conflict. So we just have to go far enough with clarification to understand, you know, what's the right answer. And that's not something that's meant to be like a challenging or insubordinate kind of thing, because that 'cause that is counter to us being devotees, which, you know, ruins the whole purpose of what we're trying to do by understanding how I should follow. But we should seek clarification, because if we're seeing a contradiction in the system, like I'm supposed to be following, you know, my whatever authority in some place in the ISKCON world, and that doesn't seem to be following this other authority, that doesn't seem to be following what I read or whatever, there needs to be some clarification, because there could be a misconception on our part. Probably that's the case, and, you know, a lot of the time. There could genuinely be something that needs to be rectified in the situation. You know, so that we're not there to correct the system, but we're there to follow it properly, so we can very humbly and genuinely, inquisitively seek to understand why this doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. I want to follow. This is something very nice that Ed Prabhu asked the question, I think, to Nityananda Prabhu, and he said, without repeating the whole thing, a devotee always wants to serve, but his question may be, how can I carry out the service? And so that mood allows us to understand it properly. I have these two different authority, you know, statements, and I don't know how to follow both of them. Can you please clarify, you know, how this is supposed to work? I want to follow, I just don't understand. It doesn't make sense for me. Yeah, like Arjuna is asking Krishna, you know, I don't understand. What are you talking about? This seems to be contradicting that thing, and I want to understand, but I can't understand. And then, because Krishna sees we actually want to be devotees, then he can give some intelligence one way or another. This is just like a general answer to the question. Anybody else want to comment on that or share something else? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, thanks.
You clarified previously that since the leader, they are not following the system, then machine will not work and people will not be submissive, right? But let's say our authorities are functioning properly, okay, and we do have we don't have conflicts. So in that attitude, submission is the best way, or we need to rectify those things? Because it could be an offense rectifying the authority, right?
Yeah, it's always an offense to rectify the authority. You can say offense. It's not whatever the word offense means. It's always incorrect to rectify an authority. In an extreme case, you can reject an authority. We see that example from like Bali Maharaj, or, you know, that kind of situation where the spiritual master is saying, don't surrender to Vishnu. Okay, so I reject you. It's not like he said, you're wrong, let me instruct you how you're supposed to follow. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to follow that instruction. I'm sorry, because that's not right. But from the junior position or whatever, the subordinate position, one doesn't need to worry about, this is my understanding, if somebody has some, but I don't think so, but if somebody has some other clarification, please feel free to augment this. We don't need to correct the system. We need to follow the system correctly. That means a correction of our own understanding of things. And there's a system set up for that. So let's say, you know, somebody that we are, you know, when we think of this situation, it doesn't have so much, you know, weight, but it can happen, or, you know. So if there's some authority who's giving us some instruction that doesn't seem to make sense, or there's something going on that doesn't seem right, we ask that person, for clarification, very humbly, you are my superior. I'm just trying to understand. I have conflicting understanding in my mind. You please clarify this for me so that I can, you know, overcome my doubt about this. And then if that, you know, can't resolve it for you, then there's a hierarchy in ISKCON. There's a GBC representatives for the area, etc. There's a GBC ultimate authority that directs even the GBC representatives. So like that, you know, if it's required to go that far, you know, there's always somebody higher that can give clarification. So in general, like, this is something that I have, how much applied, but like tried to understand for myself, that like Srila Prabhupada saying in his preface to Nectar of Instruction, really the goal is to come to the mode of goodness, to get control of our mind and senses so we can engage in devotional service undeviatingly. That's the goal for every devotee. We just want to come to the platform of pure devotional service. So that's really what we're worried about, and that's what the system is supposed to give. That's the fruit of the system, is to get the instruction of the acharyas so that we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So there may be aberrations here and there due to the nature of this world. If overall things are moving in the right direction, we don't have to worry so much for, you know, ourselves, what's happening. But if we see that it's like, you know, hey, I don't even think that we're practicing Krishna consciousness or something like that, you know, or whatever. Or if there's some concern like that where I'm, you know, really genuinely not certain if this is good for me or whatever, then we can ask like that and get the clarification. That's why Srila Prabhupada set up the GBC as the ultimate authority. That's one reason. Because there has to be an ultimate authority for an organization. If there's not an organization, then everybody just has their spiritual master or whatever. That's your authority, and you just follow your authority. But in an organization, there's, you know, there's so many levels of things going on that there has to be a management system. So it's there, and you can get clarification if it's required.
Thank you, Prabhu. The question I have is... Oh, yeah. It helped, but the question I raised is because I was facing the same problem. I was trying to rectify the authorities. I tried to check the actions of the authorities. I was trying to cross-question them. So I was just trying to make it clarify from the...
Yeah, I mean, questions is... one thing that Jai Jagannath Prabhu said years ago to me, I think just personally, some discussion we were having was about acting in terms of our service. Because our position in, like, let's say the International Society for Krishna Consciousness may just be, like, I'm just a student here. You know, I'm not, like, an authority of any sort. And that's this, and that's the established order of things by the GBC, by the temple authority who's appointed, who's accepted by the GBC, etc., down the line. So that's the system. I want to be part of that system, so I follow that system. So from this position, I'm entering this system that's there. I can't, like, start changing that system. I'm not in that position. So, but for myself, I want to know that I'm doing things properly. So if there's inquiry in that direction of I want to know that I'm following properly, it will lead to the proper understanding. Either the system is fine and I'm messed up, or the system is messed up and here's how I should follow it properly, or whatever. But the conclusion will be me following properly as opposed to making sure that other people are following properly. Then we avoid worrying so much about, you know, what the other person is doing. More it's just like, hey, I'm in a situation where I want to go in this direction, and you know, how do I do that? Oh, here's something that's not moving me there. Okay, I go this way and, you know, around it or whatever, but it's not like that thing is, you know, in the way or something. You know, the critical mentality doesn't isn't being utilized. It's just looking forward. How do I reach the goal? And just to like conclude that, I don't know if everyone wants to say something, but just my last 2 cents on that thing is that an atmosphere of love and trust is what Srila Prabhupada has advocated for us to accept. So the idea is not to lose your intelligence because we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, but the idea is we're not looking for mistakes, we're looking for how we can engage in loving relationships with the devotees. We're looking for how we can learn from the devotees, not what things we're not supposed to learn, or the honeybee mentality. And then if there's some discrepancy still, when we're really trying hard to appreciate what we have been given, then we can clarify and just find out, am I following properly or not? It's an important question, obviously. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
I've often heard from senior devotees that to be, true followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should follow his system. So he gave the GBC.
Yeah.
So if we're followers of Srila Prabhupada, we follow the GBC. Oftentimes, I've struggled with clarity on what is the function of the GBC. We hear the term the ultimate managerial authority. Okay, so then that can be in terms of managing an organization, then they're the ultimate managerial authority. And I can get on board with that idea, otherwise it's just anarchy, anyone does whatever they want. So they're the ultimate managerial authority, they manage the way things go in society. That makes perfect sense. But then when it comes to like certain conceptions that the GBC may be promoting, which other senior members of the movement may not agree with, then and I may feel more inclined towards other conceptions which are not in accord with what the GBC is promoting within the society, then does that make me not a true follower of Srila Prabhupada? Because in terms of the managerial system, yes, follow the GBC, but in terms of all the conceptions that are coming out, maybe not. But does that mean I'm not a follower of Srila Prabhupada because I don't accept that particular conception?
Yeah.
So I...
well, I don't... I mean, yeah. In other words, from the managerial side, ultimate authority, but from the spiritual side, ultimate authority with a question mark. So what I've understood from my spiritual master / GBC is that I'm going to explain this after I say it, so I'll go further with it. But yes, the GBC is the ultimate spiritual authority as the successor of Srila Prabhupada. However, the GBC is not Srila Prabhupada, so that should be understood. What does that mean? Like his question. There's some conception that I don't accept that doesn't seem to match. I'm doing my best to understand Srila Prabhupada's books, and you're saying something that I just can't, digest based on what I understand. Plus, a bunch of other senior devotees also aren't accepting it, not just me. There's other persons also who are thinking something is weird with this idea. So what to do with that? So it doesn't mean, subversion of my personality, and now the GBC conception is the right thing, and everybody just becomes a zombie or something. But technically speaking, that is the conception to be propagated in ISKCON. Now, if there's me and senior devotees and whatever, or even if it's just me and it seems like there's something wrong, then maybe, as a service, this is just my expression, I'm sure there's a better way to think about it, but as a service, I can humbly express, this doesn't seem like it makes sense to me. And, my authority, I can express that to them, and they say, yeah, maybe you're right, you know, and then talk to the higher authority, and da-da-da-da-da, and all of a sudden the GBC here is like, you know, there's devotees who are presenting these genuine concerns, maybe we should consider this in our proclamation on this particular conception, and then there can be some forward movement in an organized, not just organized, but civil or what a cultured way, I guess, of how to examine that to see if there's some correction required. Because there can be some correction required because GBC is not Srila Prabhupada. The GBC is doing their best, or that's their service, to do their best to present what Srila Prabhupada has given in so many different contexts. So I can't speak a lot of things that I've heard because I don't have any, you know, like they're not going to come from the core of my heart. So I can just say what I can say. And I can, you know, we should have that trust that devotees are trying to serve. But, and I may be mistaken somehow in my understanding of what's being presented here. It doesn't seem like it to me or others, you know, but let me follow the system and present it like that and see if there's some change. And if there's not a change, then Krishna is the controller, so what can we do? I guess that would be my conclusion. I'll just maintain my indecision while at the same time maybe avoid that topic in representing the institution or something, because the GBC has made that the proclamation, so I don't want to, like, you know, show people that I'm like jumping over that, because that's may cause some difficulties, like we were discussing, some sense of insubordination kind of thing. So, So that's what I would say. There is a proper way to address doubts about things that the GBC decides. And I think that the GBC needs that. I don't think that it's something that they should, if would or should, whatever, discourage. I have thought, you know, in my own context, like, you know, we need, let's say I'm a superior to somebody and they learn something that I missed, you know, it'd be great if they somehow revealed that to me in a humble way that didn't affect their relationship with me, you know, in Krishna consciousness. Because then I messed up on that thing, you know. I can do a better job now in my service. So not that we're thinking that other people need us to tell them something in like a arrogant way or something, but as a service, I want to follow the system, and I also want to, you know, share Srila Prabhupada's teachings with others, and it doesn't seem like this is the right thing. So I want to present that as a concern and see what happens. And I'm sure we'd have to have a lot of patience because systems don't work very quickly. But that's my thought. That's my thought based on what I think that... not just think what I've heard, so many different circumstances, Srila Prabhupada would say. Not just that, like, oh, here's the Srila Prabhupada, you know, stick or whatever, but also just from a logical standpoint, if the system's going to work at all, it has to work like that. Otherwise, you know, it's not a system. It's everybody's opinion. And then we just do that. And the time is almost over. So there's this whole thing of like, we shouldn't follow just ecclesiastical arrangements, right? Like the statement that's in Chaitanya Charitamrita that you brought up before. It's not, spiritual system doesn't work according to material organization of things. But it's not a material organization of things, is I guess the point that we're coming down to. This is who Srila Prabhupada set up as his successor. So how do we look at that? As opposed to having an acharya, singular person leading the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we have a GBC. That means that they're serving the same function as an acharya would serve. So, you know, we have to look at it, I think, like that, in a sense. In another sense, we can be a GBC member. Do we not want others to point out if we messed up something in representing Srila Prabhupada? I feel like I would want to. You know, so from that angle, I'm giving the answer. If somebody in ISKCON world wants to, you know, cut my head off or whatever, please do. Go ahead. Look, I saw Luke Prabhu first, but Rakta Prabhu is not a frequent speaker, so if you'd like to divert to him, that's fine. We just got 1 minute or something. Go ahead, Prabhu. Can you flip it on the bottom there?
Has a constitution been set up for the GBC?
I think it's there now. They were working on it recently, if it's not done yet, but yeah. I'm not a GBC representative. I've heard things about it. Guru Maharaj has spoken about it. So, yes, look, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ru. Just something that came to mind on this last topic you were discussing, and I would like if you could give your thought also.
Okay.
The way my understanding of the Varnashram culture is the brahmanas represent transcendental knowledge and will advise the administrators.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to the administrators to implement
right.
practically the instruction.
Yeah.
And there are so many varieties of ways one could do that. And the brahmanas being detached aren't upset or whatever if the administrators happen to do something or fail to do something that ends up causing some difficulty for the persons being administrated.
Because
they're detached. And then also, then in our the context of the discussion, GBC, the administrators, the GBC members, are encouraging persons who have that inclination or have strong opinions or whatever about how to improve our society to step up and participate in that administrative effort. That was just two thoughts.
But they're two completely separate things, or? Okay.
Well, on the one hand, the persons, like for example, there were the senior devotees who have a different conception of how to best administrate
mm-hmm.
the society. So then they put forth a petition, like acting, in my mind, acting as the role of like brahmana, brahminical figure, you know, giving some guidance or counsel.
Mm.
But then
the administrators are going to do it.
Along with that, there's a detachment, because that's the status of a person who's attained that platform and who's acting in that way. There's detachment. I'm giving some counsel, but ultimately you're the administrator. So I can give counsel, but I'm detached because you're the administrator. I'm not the administrator. But then also within our context, we have the opportunity for persons who are very much inspired, who have strong feelings and whose hearts are there, like concerned about the welfare of the society, to actually get involved and then take up that administrative duty and do something in that way. But it seems there should be no conflict for the individual in either position, because in the position of just simply giving counsel, he's detached, so he's not doing administrative duties. And then if he desires to enter the administrative arena, then he'll actually be able to influence it in that way.
You're talking about like the relationships between the devotees, for instance, like as an administrator devotee or as a counseling devotee, as you were saying, using the word counseling, somebody who's performing a brahminical function, obviously like a GBC representative or something like that, there's not a conflict between the individuals in like a material way of conflict. I don't know. I mean, a brahmana is not supposed to be seeing the persons in a material way anyway. But let me see the essence of this. We're looking for how to serve. Maybe that's like a simple place to start. So as a service, I mean, it depends on what we're talking about. Is it like, oh, you didn't have people cleaning the kitchen enough times every week, or like, you know, you taught people that, you know, the GPC is not the authority. Like, what's the deviation we're talking about here? You know, so, and then it affects people to this degree or this degree. You know, so is there going to be detachment from the brahmanas when somebody's like King Vena, you know, is destroying the Brahminical culture? No, they killed him. You can say detachment in the sense that they're seeing things from a spiritual angle. You can say that, you know, like, but not like they don't care kind of detachment. Just that, like, I'm not going to lose my Krishna consciousness because I'm so angry at this person kind of detachment. But not like I don't care kind of detachment. There can be anger. There can be, you know, that kind of thing. So, just like Srila Prabhupada would come to a temple where some weird thing was happening, even something so small like the Charanamrita, he went, I think it was in New York, and he tasted the Charanamrita one morning, and it was salty, and he was like, what are you doing, you know? Because that means that they put salt when they were doing the Abhishek for the deities or whatever, you know? So it's like, this is not acceptable. And the next day, the same thing happened. And I think Ramapada Swami was there, because he described, like, when Prabhupada found out, they were just like, ah! They, like, ran, you know? Because like, he's just like, atomic bomb, you know? Like, this is not acceptable, you know? This is not acceptable. Because there's a bigger consequence. It's like, you're not worshiping the Supreme Lord properly. So what's the context that we're talking about? Is it just like, you know, the chairs are disorganized in the temple room? You know, I'm not going to bother the guy about that, you know, but is there something that's going to affect the devotees in their practice of Krishna consciousness? It may not be anger at that point. It may just be like, let's discuss this thing. And then if it's like, I don't want to change it because I don't care and I'm the administrator, then it can be, you know, angry. So it's all about service, you know, like that. There were devotees, first of all, before anything else. The brahminical thing is just like, because I have a brain that works like that, then I perform a brahminical function. So, but ultimately we're trying to serve and make sure everybody else has the opportunity to serve as nicely as possible. So however that manifests, trying not to have conflict between devotees, obviously, because we're devotees. I don't know, that's how I would answer the question, I think, at this, to the extent that I can consider it right now. I don't know if that, hopefully that addressed the different angles that you were approaching. Okay, yeah, first of all, we're devotees. That's maybe the simple way to say it, or like I said at the beginning, like we want to serve. The designations are just functional things. So we have devotee relationships and we try to help each other stay on the path of devotional service. And, you know, if that means that I'm going to say something or not say something or whatever, then it's, you know, it's not just the Varnashram system. Maybe we can process it like that. Maybe some more will come out of it. I don't have anything maybe more to say about it. It's past the time. Thank you for waiting. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.